In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of the blessed repose of the soul of Chiesa Burnaby, my mother, and for Father Christopher Burnaby on his birthday. Thank you, CDA people, and JCDA people. Today is a great and glorious day because we get to celebrate this great feast of St. Martin de Porres. Also, it's nice that he happens to be my patron saint through birth. So thank you for those of you in your kindness have done so many kindnesses to me. Just in case I forget to share that with you at the end, because I forget these things, I believe that there is somebody purchased a cake in the back, and it's on that table there, and you can take and share and do whatever you want with it afterwards. Obviously, I have a small panza and I can't consume it very well. I did take a little piece of it last night, so that's pretty sizable portion. So please do take that after Mass. Today, when we get into this great feast day of San Martin de Porres, it's important to note some things about his life. He was, in essence, a companion of our dear patroness, St. Rose of Lima. They were in the same city, and contrary to what people say, I was just listening to a homily earlier today of a great priest, but he did say that they worked together. They certainly did not work together. They were in the same city, they were in the same town, they were relatively, I guess you could say, about the same age, but even though they were in the same town, they never encountered one another. Baptized in the same way, both saints of the same city, but they did not encounter one another. Saint Rose of Lima was not able to enter into the Dominican order. Neither was Saint Martin de Porres able to enter into the Dominican order. Both were opposed in their entrance, both into the male and female virgins respectively, because of different reasons. Saint Rose of Lima was not allowed because of her own parents and their desire to keep her not within a religious order. San Martin de Porres was not allowed because of other reasons. He was a mulatto, which is a fine way of saying that he was of mixed race, that he was half slave and half Spanish. And because of that, he wasn't accepted by anybody. The racism cut both ways on that. That because he was not dark enough, because he was a half-breed, the African slaves wanted nothing to do with him and would mock him. And the whites, those who were the Spanish there in Lima, did not accept him either because he was too dark. He was half slave. And so because of that, they would not accept him. And even more because he was, we won't use the term that they would have used at the time, but he was illegitimate. His father refused to claim his patronage, his fatherhood over this child. And so he grew up without that. And so when he went through the whole of his life, he was always put upon on every side, finding in no one a place. Because even if there were a group of mulattoes there who would have been able to take him in, no, he was one who was an illegitimate one, so even lesser than that. Easily, this great saint could have taken all these pressures upon him and felt himself a victim of circumstance and raged against the world and become a degenerate because of it, saying, if they treat me like a degenerate, I might as well act like a degenerate. But he didn't. He responded to grace, God's grace within his life. And so, rather than running rampage through the streets and getting himself in all sorts of evils, he did the opposite and allowed those being put upon to help him to recognize, I am lowly. I've sinned. I've not always followed God. Because of this, I probably deserve it. And if not, well, didn't they treat my Lord the same way? They treated him like he was an illegitimate one. They treated him like he was not of us in this way. And so they treat me. A good thing to meditate upon any time we're excluded from any group that we wish to be a part of, whether it's our own family members or friends or those of our own community or those of a culture at large that we desire to associate ourselves with. San Martin de Porres is one we can go to. There are lots of things. I mean, Sister Anne really loves the story, and maybe I mention it every year. I don't know if I do. I don't recall. But her favorite story, at least that she shared with me, is of how he dealt with animals. You see, San Martin de Porres, I don't know if Fabian brought his picture out. It's in the sacristy anyway. Somebody put it there. But San Martin de Porres, huh? He can bring it out if he wishes to. So San Martin de Porres is always pictured with animals. Animals of all kinds, usually dogs and cats, sometimes other creatures that are there. But specifically, the most detestable creature that he could be pictured with is one that he is known to have a great patronage over. The ratons. The mice. The rats. And in this way, he worked a great miracle. You see, at the time, these creatures, they are indeed miscreants. They are indeed terrible, terrible rodents that get into all sorts of things. These rodents were not just getting into the pantry, which is bad enough, not just making contagious messes in places, but even worse still, They were destroying the worship of the monks. They would go and get into the organ area and eat through the organ pump organisms, whatever you call those things, the pipes. The bellows. Yes, sister knows. She's smarter than me. Sister knows, the bellows. And so you would nibble on them, and San Martin was always sneaking them food. He said they're little creatures of God. They should be fed too. And always finding a little bit of his own food or a little bit of the scraps that he could find in some sort of way and sneaking it away for those creatures as well, because they had to eat too. When this was discovered, they realized, San Martin, Martin, you can't do this anymore. You can't feed these creatures. In fact, you're the one now who's going to be put in charge of exterminating them. This man who loved every creature. To do a backfill upon his story, he was one who was so solicitous for anybody who was in need, he was one put in charge of being a beggar. So he would go out and beg. You know how much he would earn every single week for begging? I tell you what, a lot more than Father Burnaby makes. He would earn the equivalent of $2,000 a week himself just begging. He was quite a successful beggar. He would go out there and beg that for them. He wasn't allowed to be a actual brother to go into final vows because he was illegitimate, because there was a law on the books that said that in the nation that you couldn't have an indigenous person or a slave person in final vows. That was just the law as what it was. But when it was finally came time, his superior said, we got to bring you into the faith. We got to bring you in here because you indeed have great devotion. I don't care what would happen. So it always has to be voted on if this person will be accepted by the community. There were 300 members of the community at the time. And so all of them, following the prior, voted for him and spoke in favor of him becoming, even though it was contrary to the law. Except three people. Do you know who those three people were? The first one was one other, just regular brother. And he said, well, look, because he's of indigenous race, the law says that he can't become one. So, I vote against him. Non placit. I do not agree. There was another who said it. This was a priest who was actually in charge of the canon law within the society, and he said, canon law does not permit us to be able to do so because he is illegitimate. His father hasn't claimed him, so he can't be in to final vows right here with us. And so he said, non placi, and said, do not let him in. And there was a third person. Do you know what that third person is? I'll tell you what, it wasn't a regular lay brother, and it wasn't a priest. It was San Martin himself. San Martin said, he's not worthy of being it, because he said, I'm not worthy. Of being received into this order and following Christ so radically in this way. His own humility. We see this within the saints often, like Saint John Vianney, who, when everybody was cycling the petition all throughout the town to get him thrown out of his parish, he snuck in and signed it himself. So getting back to it, not only was he solicitous for these creatures here, he was also solicitous for every single person who was weak, those who were sick and ill. Those who were the indigent, who would lie drunk or starving within the streets. He'd bring them into the monasteries, feed them, nurse them back to health, and then send them out. This happened time and time again. It was becoming a strain upon the community that was there. And so they said, Martin, you can't do this anymore. You can't do this anymore. You're forbidden under obedience no longer to bring these ones in, because it was becoming too much. And so Martin, trying to be under strict obedience, held that until one day he saw a man lying out there because of his wounds, lying in the street. He knew that he would certainly die. So he snuck him in the back, pulled him in there, and nursed him back one after another each day until it was finally discovered that he was there hiding him in the place, feeding him with his own rations, which he would hide within his own self to be able to sneak out to him the greater portion of his meal. The prior rebuked him, and he said to him, Martin, this is disobedience. You have disobeyed me. I can't believe that you, such a model within our community, would stoop so low and disobey this direct order that your superior gave you under religious obedience. And Martin bowed his head in embarrassment, looking at his feet, and said, well, Father Prior, I did not know that the law regarding religious obedience exceeds the law of charity to save a life. And as he said that with real humility, not with a jab, the prior's heart was broken. He converted on the moment and said, Martin, you can do whatever you want. Let the law of charity be always your guide. So this one, solicitous for persons, also solicitous for these creatures. And so being in charge, as I said here, of taking care of all these little creatures, these rodents here who are eating at the organ bellows, as Sister Anne pointed out for us, what about them? Now to exterminate them. He pled, please don't let me do it. I can't kill any creature whatsoever. I could not certainly do this. Give me some time. Forget the amount of time. He said, give me some time to first speak with them. And I promise you that after speaking with me, they will not do it anymore. They scoffed at him and said, Martin, do what you will. You have until that time. And so he spoke to them. Spoke to them when he caught one of the mice who was there and lectured him. Lectured him that he is not to do that. And if he would so do so, if he would convince all the other ratons, if he would convince all the little mice to not eat the bellows as they were doing there, that it would protect at least that from their predations, that he would make sure that they would always have as much cheese and the crumbs as they would ever desire. Just do not eat the bellows. And sending him on his way back to the others, what happened? From that moment on, never did they touch the bellows again. I'm not just talking for the next week or the next month or even the next calendar year. Sister Anne tells me, to this day, they still do not eat the bellows which are there. And they are well cared for unto this day, the monks honoring San Martin's promise. This is the work of saints, of sanctity, of the desire to preserve not just human life, but all life in its great dignity. And so this saint gives us something there. A few lessons. One, to see ourselves and to not take everybody else's attacks upon us, even though it's hard. And I speak from my own perspective as well. It is a hard thing to resist in that. But yet, that's the way of the saints. To recognize that we are very lowly and God is going to take care of us anyway. So what does it matter what they do to the flesh? I need not be my advocate. Let God be my advocate. As we said in the entrance of the Mass, it says, you are my portion and my inheritance, O Lord. It is you who will restore to me my inheritance. And that, by the way, is the prayer that the priest prays every day when he puts on his cassock. Furthermore, we see here this great desire to preserve life at all costs. And so too, how quick are we to cast judgment, to do harm to others' souls and bodies, and also to little creatures, to realize that even each one of these has a dignity in its own person. So many of us today don't need to be convinced that creatures, these animals, are made in the image and likeness of God and need to be preserved. But some within our society need to be convinced that human beings are worthy of the same respect. And so, particularly during this time, to pray for recognition of human dignity from its very conception to its natural death, be honored here within our nation, within our community as well, not just within the laws, but especially within the heart of every person, because that's the Catholic position. So to pray for these intentions, and through the intercession of San Martin de Porres, to find that we ourselves, have so great a dignity as well. San Martin de Porres, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.